Thank you. I got mine up here, but thank you. Yeah, I tell you, we see a lack of that in the world, don't we? A lack of peace. That's why people are so miserable and they're so lost, because they don't have peace. Peace just settles so many accounts in our lives when we have it. You know, even if you're sick with a disease, but you got peace, it makes things bearable. If you're discouraged, but you've got peace, it makes things bearable. If you're broke, but you've got peace, it makes things bearable. Peace is something that is a great gift that God gave us. And it's something that many don't have, and they struggle trying to get it. And they think that peace is found in possessions or things or materials or houses or lands or cars. They think peace is found in relationships. They think peace is found in children. They think peace is found in jobs. And we find out that all of those things can not only not give you peace, but can even rob you of your peace. But the one thing that remains is the peace of God that lives inside of us. That reminds us every single day, I am yours, God, and you are mine. I am your child, and you are my father. And that relationship cannot be broken, no matter how bad the storm blows, no matter how bad the big bad wolf howls at our door. That relationship that we have with God cannot be broken. And that's what gives us our real peace, to realize we're not fighting alone. We're not living alone. We're not walking alone. We're not going through our trials alone. We're not going through tribulations alone. God is there. And we'll talk about that tonight in Matthew 14. This is a very familiar story. It's one of the two miracles that Jesus did in the same day. The first miracle we did that day was when he fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. And if you remember that account, there was Jesus was ministering to the people and teaching them, and it was time to go home for the day, and they were hungry, hadn't eaten all day. And the disciple says, let them go home so they can get something to eat. He said, I don't want to leave them. I don't want to send them away hungry. So let's feed them right now. Lord, we ain't got anything but, you know, five loaves of bread. And he said, that's enough. Just sit them down. And often, you know, I've taught on this before, and I just my mind gets working with this miracle, because it could happen different ways, but I don't know. I always picture it in my mind of as they had the fish in the bucket, or the bread in the bucket, the five loaves of bread, that every time someone took one, it was just replaced. Someone took one, it was replaced. Someone took one, it was replaced. And just it kept getting replaced until the last person got what they needed. Not only was it replaced, but the Bible says there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And so God took five little pieces of bread and two fish, and he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Disciples saw that. He was teaching them something. He was teaching them one thing, is that you depend on me. I'm all sufficient. He was teaching them that it doesn't matter if it looks in your eyes that there's not enough. With me, there's always more than enough. He's teaching them to realize that don't gauge or measure your expectations by what you see in this rim, but measure by what I am in that rim. And I get thinking about that, how that, you know, we look at things in our lives in the natural sense, not realizing that if we truly believe that everything is under the authority of God, then why do we think that that can overtake God? Why do we think our situation can overshadow God? Why do we think that our lack of something can't be filled with the riches that are in God's glory? That's why I love that verse that, you know, that he will... all of his riches, he will, what's the verse? Thank you. Supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Think about that verse. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches. That little boy's lunch wasn't enough. But in God's accounting system, in God's books, think how that would have been audited. Hallelujah. I mean, how does two fish and five pieces of bread, a boy's lunch, an individual's lunch, be a snack for some of us? So that's a lunch. A lunch. And he fed all of those people, teaching his disciples and teaching others, just depend on me. I will make a way when there seemeth to be no way. I will show up when it seems impossible. Just trust me. All the resource of life is found in me. Because I'm over all things. I'm even over lack. I'm over insufficiencies. I'm over not enough. I'm over sickness and disease. I'm over everything. So that's the first miracle that happened. Then we get into what I'm going to talk about tonight, the story of the stormy sea. We pick up chapter 14, verse 22. Excuse me, 24. Thank you. So 14 and 24. So what happened, he'd sent them away. They'd seen the miracle, everybody had left, and then he put them on a boat and says, go on the other side, I'll join you later. He went to pray by himself, Jesus did. Now he's coming back, verse 24. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, and it was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Go to the next slide. I'll point these 3 points out in verse 27. Here's what he says. These are three principles we should live by spiritually. He told them, he says, take courage. Be courageous. Just take courage. Trust me. You know, God told Joshua that when he took over from Moses. He says, be courageous. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Courage is something that sometimes is hard to find because discouragements and distractions can rob us of that and steal us of that. We're afraid to take the next step. We're afraid to trust God for the unknown. We're afraid, what if it doesn't work out? And I love how we as humans, especially me, because I'm a planner. I'm one that I just plan things, and my mind processes that way. But I've always got a plan B and a plan C and a plan D. And sometimes all God wants is to say, just a plan A. Trust me. Full force, trust me. Now, this story really relates to me now that I've been on a cruise that was horrible. So I can really relate to this story. Because it was horrible. I mean, at one point, I truly thought we were sinking. My eyes, see what happens? Fear can override fact in a heartbeat. Fear can override truth if we allow it to. And I remember when the boat out there on that cruise, when the boat stopped in the middle of the Atlantic down there, it stopped. And it did stop now. Right, Mel? It was stopped. Right, but it was stopped. So as it stopped, I mean, it's called cruise for a reason. Cruise. You're cruising, right? We are stopped. We are parked in the middle of the ocean. And as I went outside of the rails to start looking down, my eyes started playing tricks. And I'm like, Melly, that water level is higher than it was. Remember me telling you that? It's higher. I said, Melly, I'm telling you, it's higher. So, my mind just went rampant. I mean, I thought I was going home. I really did. And I remember just, you know, letting fear just override me. And Melanie was so calm, and she was just calm. I mean, she didn't necessarily like it, but she was calm. And I wasn't. And so I can relate to this story, realizing out in the middle of the water, the sea is rocky, you know, the boat is stopped, there's black smoke coming out of the steam pipe, whatever you call it, smokestack, black smoke boiling out. I mean, black smoke, and people talking in a foreign language over the ship. I knew something was going on. We're not talking English, something's going on. And I knew. I said, something, they don't want to know what something is going on. They had all these code names, code M46B, all this weird language. I'm like, something ain't right. So I can relate to this. And I sure wish I'd seen Jesus walking on the water that day. I can tell you, I wish I'd have seen Jesus walking to me. Well, that's true. I said, can you come get me? Just carry me, Lord. Just carry me. Thank you for that faith in me, Melly. I should have took courage, but I didn't. Because fear can cancel out courage. This is what happens with bullying, especially with our younger generation, is that a bully puts fear in someone, and that person does not take courage, but they backtrack and they submit to the fear being placed against them. The second thing Jesus told him, and I love this, it is I. It is I. That should have gave great comfort to disciples when they heard, it's me, boys. It's Jesus. If we could learn that it is him in the middle of everything. The eye of the storm, we know, you know, a hurricane has an eye in the middle, and the middle part is the calm part, and the hurricane is a circular wall. And as it comes across land, the first wave, the first band of that wall is rough and bad, and then it calms down for a little while. Then the second wall comes across. And they say that in the middle of that hurricane, how calm it truly is. With 100-mile-an-hour winds on the outside, it's calm on the inside. We as God's children should be that way, because God is the eye of our storm. He's the calm of our storm. He's the peace of our storm. And though all the stuff around us seems to be falling apart and going downhill, all around us we are struggling. All around us there is discouragement and fear and pain and grief and sorrow and loss and hopelessness. All around us. Because each one of us have a storm. And we don't ever know exactly how we're going to respond to that storm or when that storm is going to hit. Sometimes we have a meltdown just like that and don't know why. Just a meltdown. Just things are fine, then a meltdown right there. The storm hits. We go to a doctor and we get news we never had before, and all of a sudden a storm hit right then. And what do we do about it? The storm is there. It's barking, it's growling, it's stirring. We have bad news. We feel bad inside. The devil's attacked our thoughts and our mind and pulled us down. It doesn't mean that God is not with us and God is not fighting for us. It is I, he says. It is I. I believe what he said, that I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. So that means God's just not with me in the high times, the good times, but God's with me in every time, every season, every low and every high, every storm, every gale, every calm moment, every traumatic moment. When the doctor gives you that news, he's there. He's saying, it is I, and I'm right here. And it's that peace that gets us through our daily walk. It's that peace that keeps us moving forward. The reason that suicide happens comes down to one thing: no peace. There's no peace. People can't get peace. And so they think if they do that, I'll finally have peace. I'll finally get the peace that I can't get on this side. And they feel hopeless. They feel like it's never going to change, because all they see is the storm coming against them and battling every day. Every day is a struggle. Every day is a storm. Every day there's a giant staring at them. Every day there's something different arising against them. But there is nothing that is over the authority of God. He has authority over every single thing, because he is the creator of every single thing. And the creation is subject to the creator. Whether it's human life, whether it's animal life, whether it's plant life, whether it's space life or sea life, whatever that life is, it is subject to the creator. So there is no storm that overshadows God. There is no battle that destroys God. There is no pain that hurts God. There is no grief that robs God of his joy, because he is over it all. And in his supply, in his arsenal, he is able to pour into us and pour upon us all that we need to function day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year. From every season, from youth to old age, he is the one that supplies our needs. Nothing is over him. And we're about to read this here. What happened? Oh, third one. Third thing he says: be not afraid. How many of us live our lives in fear? Me and Melanie, we canceled our cable. We have no TV other than I got Netflix. That's all I got. We don't have TV anymore. The bill got too outrageous. I just got tired of paying it, so we canceled it. So no TV. Now I got to do something for football season, but right now I got no TV. And you know what? I've not even missed it. I really have not missed it. I told Melly, I'm not trying to bury my head in the sand, I'm not. But I'm telling you, when we watch the news all day long and every day and hear all that stuff, it's no wonder we're the way we are. I'm going to tell you something. If North Korea wants to fire a missile, that missile ain't stronger than God. It doesn't matter, church, what comes against us, as we read Sunday, because God is for us. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And his hand of mercy knows exactly what it's doing. And I am covered and I am protected by his hand. And I trust his hand more than I trust anything the media tries to tell me, or what any dictator tries to rise up and do. or when any evil or prejudice or hate tries to creep into my life, God is strong enough to keep me out of that and let my eyes be upon Him. And I have had more joy since I stopped watching the news all the time. Church, let me ask you something. Can any of y'all go to North Korea and change his mind? Is Jewel going to fly over there and say, "Mr. Dictator, please don't fire that missile because I'm afraid"? Good! There's things we can't change. That's why we have a God who can change it. And that's why we trust God to be over our nation, over our family, over our health, over our finance, over our children, over our marriages, over everything. He's the creator, and everything is subject to His authority. A missile can't be fired unless God allows that to happen. Israel cannot be destroyed because the hand of God is on it. I think about that so many times. I mean, you don't hear about it a lot. Anybody say this, but how has little old New Jersey-sized nation stayed like it is in the midst of wolves, in the midst of enemies? This little tiny nation that so many people hate just because they're who they are. But they can't destroy them. For no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. That's what we should be feeding our faith. If we would put as much emphasis in serving God as we do in either tearing down or worrying about what President Trump's going to do, we would walk such a more of a life of peace and joy. Everything's ordained by God. Trump is president because of God. Obama was president because of God. George Bush was president because of God. Bill Clinton was president because of God. Every power to be is ordained by God. So, you know what? Am I going to challenge the hand of God? Am I going to challenge God and spew hatred toward any leader that God puts in place? We learned from David's series about that. I mean, man, Saul is trying to kill David. And David had a chance to defend himself by killing Saul. He was right there. He could have slit his throat and Saul never saw him coming. But he says, "I can't touch God's anointed. I can't touch what God has put in place." Because God raised Saul up. God called Saul. Just like God has called every leader of this nation, every person in any position of power and authority, the powers to be are ordained by God. We can like it or lump it or whatever we want to do, but it's because of God. And we have that right not to like it. That's fine. But I trust God. More than I trust a political system or a political movement, I trust God. He says, "Be not afraid. Don't let the fear of what might happen in the future," because you may question what might happen. What kind of world my kids grow up in? What kind of world? And I understand those are thoughts that we think. I've got kids. I know that. But don't we know how our future ends? I know how my future ends. My future ends in the presence of a holy, eternal God forevermore. My ticket has been stamped. My flight has been booked. My reservation has been made. My soul has been sealed. And I know the end result of my life here on earth. I don't know what I'll see. Don't know how it'll really be. Anybody that tells you that can't tell you that, because nobody knows that. I just know this. I'm not afraid, because God will say, when I see Him on that side, "It is I. It is I. Be not afraid." I know how my end result works. Storms are going to always be in our lives. We've got to learn not to let the storms destroy us, overshadow us, suck so much life out of us that we quit living because of it. Because guess what? We could go through a storm and say, "Okay, I've licked that one. Another one's going to come." So we've got to let God's strength raise us through and realize that in the eye of the storm, there is my God. In the eye of the storm, He is for me, He is faithful to me, and He has a plan for me. And the plan that I had may dissolve, the plan I have may fail, but it means this, that God's got a better plan or another plan for my life, and I trust that because I trust the planning of God a lot more than I trust the planning of me. Because my plans will fail, but God's doesn't. Take courage, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 27, 28. Peter answered him and says, Lord, and Melanie's right, this would not have been me. If it be you, bid me to come on the water. Here's my response. Lord, if that's you, get this boat moving. I mean, take that black smoke away and get this boat moving and let them start talking English again. That's what I'd have been saying. But Peter said, Lord, see, Peter was very ambitious, had a desire to do something, you know, more about, out of the box. You got to think about, why did Peter say that? Why didn't Peter say, Lord, if it's you, then just, you know, come on up here and calm the storm? He said, no, Lord, if it's you, let me come out there to you. Must have been a little daredevil, a little risk taker. Not me. He said, come. Jesus told Peter, come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What did Peter do? When Peter first stepped out, he was not focused on the storm that was around him. He wasn't focused on the elements that surrounded him. He wasn't focused on the possibility of defeat or loss. He was not focused on what if it doesn't work. He simply was obedient to the word of God. He just obeyed. He simply stepped out of that boat on that water, probably had no reservation, probably had no doubt, because why else would he have done it? Stepped out and was walking on the water. What a miracle. Jesus showing who he was and what he was able to do. See, the water represented the physical realm, and him walking on it represented a spiritual realm. Once again, pointing to us and showing us that the spiritual realm is much more powerful than the natural realm. And that even the boundary of water, and we all know gravity. I mean, church, we know gravity, right? How many believe his battery will not fall? Anybody got that much faith? Uncle Gail, can you freeze in the air, you think, with your prophetic word? Here's gravity. Here's a battery. Boop, drops. So if you're sitting on a four-story hotel and God says, just step on out there, you'll walk on air. Yeah. You're going to make sure there's a pool under there for one. Okay, at least there's some water down there. Here is Peter. I mean, and understand, it wasn't just a calm little, you know, yakking river. It wasn't a little shores of Lake Norman. This was in the middle of a storm. The waves are beating the boat, whoosh, splashing. The wind is blowing in his face. He's seeing the white stuff, you know, the white, whatever they call it, on top of the water for all the wind banging around. And he steps out, and he's walking on the water, and everything is good until this. Thank you. When he saw the wind being boisterous, when he saw the wind, when he began to focus on the natural, when he began to focus on the circumstance. And church, we will drive ourselves crazy with circumstances. We will drive ourselves insane with a circumstance or a situation that we can't solve or we can't fix. And it consumes us, it overtakes us, it robs us. It's like a cancer that eats away our peace and our joy that we can't even live anymore because all we see is the boisterous wind. And we fail to remember who's over the wind. God is. God's still over the wind. I don't care. I mean, a hurricane's a hurricane, right? Category 1, Cat 5, they're both hurricanes. Tornadoes, F1, F5, they're both tornadoes. If you can't swim in water over your head, if you're not a swimmer, you can't swim in deep water, then 6 foot, if you're a 5 foot female, 6 foot water is no different than 3,000 foot water. Not really, not in your mind, because you can't touch the bottom either way. And so that's how we see things. We measure our storms, we measure our battles, not realizing that God is over all of them, no matter what size they are. God's over all of them. Everything is subject to the authority of God. Everything. When Peter saw the wind being boisterous, he was afraid. Here's where it comes in. Fear begins to cancel out our faith. Fear begins to cancel out our peace. He was so sure of himself at first. He stepped out there. He's walking. And then he had one of those uh-oh moments. He's like, oh my gosh, what have I done? What is going on? Am I really doing this? I am walking on the water. Are you kidding me? Hey, fishy, I'm walking on the water. But all of a sudden, you know what happened? His mind said, you shouldn't be walking on the water. Why are you walking on the water? You realize you're in the middle of the sea, and you're going to probably sink, and you're going to drown. Why are you off the safety of the boat? Sometimes we stay so safe being on the boat that we miss out on the future God has planned in the water. Launch out in the deep, he told disciples one time when we were fishing. They couldn't catch anything. He says, launch out into the deep. The reason you're not catching anything is because you wasn't where you're supposed to be, number one. Number two is I wasn't in it. But now that I am and now you're where you're supposed to be, you'll see what I've got planned for you. Launch out into the deep. We like the safety of our boats. We like the safety of being in a space that we're familiar with. But sometimes God is calling us out to something more, to something different. And it can be so different and so abstract that we can't see the clarity of it. It doesn't make sense to our natural mind. This is why the hardest people to teach Jesus to, if this is you, don't get offended, is IT tech people. Because their minds are so processed on the facts and on how things work. You know, I know if I plug this up and if I hit these two buttons that this releases this and it makes this go and this program boots this up and I can understand the process of why this cable hooks this in. And we try to tell them, Jesus died for your sins. That don't make sense. And sometimes our mind gets in the way of our faith. Because once again, we're dealing with a God that can't be found on Google, so to speak. He's not in the same realm that we are on the earth. And so it's beyond our natural human comprehension. And that's why that we believe by faith. And that's why that we trust by faith. And that's why we don't let the facts confuse the truth. And we don't let what we see around us destroy what's in us. And that we don't see the failures to bring us down to fail as well. We can't fail with God, church. We can't fail with God. He's not going to let you go. He's got you in the storm. He had me in the storm. He had me on the boat. He had me in his arms. I still don't understand why it was such a bad trip and why we couldn't enjoy ourselves. I don't know why all that happened. But I know God kept me. And we come back into Charleston. Thank God for the ground. Thank God for the earth. Dirt never tasted so good. Thank God. Thank God to get back in my car on four rubber tires and going down the road. Hallelujah. Rainstorm. Go ahead and rain. That's fine. I can drive in the rain. I'm cool with that. I tell you, it really is amazing how quick fear can usher in. When it comes to your kids, right? I remember when Christian first started driving. I remember me and Melanie stood in the driveway the first time she took off by herself. We were in the driveway watching her getting in the car. She didn't have her own car then, I don't guess. No, she didn't. And she took off, I think, one of our cars, and she was driving, like, you know, by herself. I'm like, that's our daughter driving a car away from us by herself. And then, of course, she was 2 minutes late. I was freaking out. My mind, oh, my gosh, the worst thing, right? I'm a man of faith. Brother Gail, I'm a man of faith. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I'm a preacher. I'm a whatever. You know, I'm supposed to be this great leader of people to build faith in the Lord. And here I am. And the worst case scenario is flooding my mind. Because she's 2 minutes late. And all these pictures begin to rush in. And if we're not careful, we forget, God, I sent you with my daughter. And I sent you with my son. And I sent you with my other daughter. And I sent you with my wife. My wife drove to Winston for a year, back and forth, you know, all week long, back and forth from Winston. That's a long trip. Good weather, bad weather, dark, dark when she left, dark when she come home in the wintertime. All that way, and, you know, trusting God, watching over her, protecting her. Fear is easy to usher in and cancel out faith. So once he became afraid, he began to sink. That's what happens to our lives. Once we allow fear to rule it, we start sinking. We start drawing away from the faith we had. Just like I said, this is why church has to be more, as Randy said earlier, has to be more than a weekly thing to where we just, because we feel good on Sundays, hopefully, and feel good on Wednesdays. We leave church. I was in church, heard the word, heard the singing, heard the worship. I feel good. I feel great. But then a storm comes, and all of a sudden, when you're in the middle of that storm on, you know, Friday afternoon, and all the gates of hell have come against you, the last thing you're thinking about is Marjorie's song, Worship the King, worship. No, that's not what we're thinking about. All we're seeing is how do I get out of what I'm in? And I'm afraid. That's why faith has to get inside of our spirit to where that becomes who we are and how we live. Once again, faith is not conditional. I mean, we don't place conditions on faith. We either believe or we don't. We trust or we don't. It's easy to believe God, man. I mean, somebody come, you know, gives you, hey, here's $100, man. I just want to bless you. Hallelujah. God's alive and well. Woo-hoo! Then the overdue notice comes. I don't know why God allows this to happen. We're like bipolar Christians. We truly are. We're for God when he's for us, but we're not for God when we think he's against us. But what we have to change our thinking is he's never against us. This storm we're reading about, in my opinion, was created by God as a lesson for his disciples. It didn't just automatically come from nowhere. It came as a purpose to teach his disciples, so what? The water's rough. So what? The wind's blowing. Didn't I tell you I'd see you over yonder? Didn't I tell you to meet me? What's going to stop that from happening? What's going to stop my plan? I've spoke it. I said it. It will be done. No matter what comes your way. I didn't say he's going to have an 85 degree sunny, you know, bikini on the deck kind of cruise. I just said, get in your boat. I'll meet you over there. About a 5-mile journey across where they went. About a 5 miles across the lake. Wasn't a very long trip. And that 5 miles, all of a sudden, everything just happened. He teaches the disciples a lesson. He began to sink, but Peter did the right thing. When he started to sink, he said this, Lord, save me. Save me. Church, that should be all of our prayer. God, save me. Rescue me. Help me. When we get to the end of us not knowing what to do, that's when we normally turn to God. And that's a good thing because it teaches us dependence and it teaches us trust, and it builds our relationship, just like your marriage. Me and Mel have been married 25 years. And we have built a lot of things in those 25 years, communication and life and trust and love and, you know, all the things we've built in 25 years. It took 25 years to get where we're at. Nothing happens overnight. There's been battles, of course, and storms, of course. But through all those 25 years, both of our anchors was God. And it's that anchor. You know what an anchor truly does? When you throw an anchor over, it holds you still. It holds you steady. An anchor stops you from moving any farther. And God is that anchor that steadies us. That there's times that he calms us in the middle of what's happening and just anchors us and says, be still. I'm steadying you. Don't go any farther. Just trust me till this passes. And we don't like the anchor moments because we're not doing anything ourselves. We're stuck like I was in that boat. I hated that boat was stopped. But you know what I would have hated worse? If it had been sinking. So though it was stopped, as Manley said, it wasn't sinking. And they had to stop it to probably prevent something worse from happening. To repair it, to fix it. So in the half glass full mentality, I should have been like, oh good, they've stopped it to repair some damage so we can move forward in a safe manner. But I was a half glass empty mentality. OMG, we are dying. And I'm going to drown and not ever see my kids again. I was having a Titanic moment. Baby, take my hand and I won't let go. And we'll float till we're rescued. I mean, it is amazing how that can just surface so quickly. So, I had to remember. Melanie had to remind me. Look, God's with us. We're going to be all right. Now, if I've been a drinker, I've been fine. There were people who were going drunk over the boat. I told you, I stand beside one guy, and I said, man, the boat stopped. He goes, oh, has it? I didn't notice. Sure you hadn't. Sure you hadn't noticed, because he's, you know. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Congo lines were going. I had one thing in mind. Survival. I kept waiting to hear that announcement. Was it go to your muster station? I kept waiting. And even Mella said that. Well, they're not called for our muster station, so it's not that bad. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. But I knew where to go. And I was ready. I'm telling you, I was ready. You know what I told Melanie? I mean, I would do another cruise. I would do another one. Well, maybe not with you. I would do another one, but I wouldn't do that one, of course, again. I would do something different. He cried and said, Lord, save me. Next verse. Immediately when he cried out to save him, Jesus stretched forth his hand and he caught him. See, immediately we call out to God. He's there. He's there. He was there all along. Do you think he would allow Peter, and this is a revelation for us tonight, he would have allowed Peter to step out of the boat and walk to him if his plan had been for him to be destroyed, for him to die? He knew he wasn't going to drown because it was I'm here. You can't drown if I'm here. You can't be destroyed if I'm here. You can't be overcome if I'm here, because I am the authority of your life, and there's nothing that's over my authority. He called him and he said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore, why did you doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The weather was under the authority of God. The winds, the waves, all the chaos was under the authority of God. All your chaos tonight is under the authority of God. All the stuff you're going through, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the torment, and every one of us has got a story to tell, and we're all going through something, and we all fight moments of discouragement and lack of peace and fear of the future, fear of the uncertain of what's going to happen next. We all fight that. We're all in different seasons. We're fighting what is to come. We're fighting the past, which I wish I would have been different, change that. Worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. But everything's under God's authority, including time, purpose, destiny. It's under God's hand. And so I can take great assurance in realizing that He is in the eye of my storm. And that though I'm surrounded by bands of warfare all the time, because church, we are fighting a spiritual battle. The Bible is clear on that. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Feelings are running hot and high, and people are so mad at everything and everybody. And people are about to snap. I mean, they're at a breaking point of just losing it. Because there's no peace. But that peace that Melanie sung about comes from the peace speaker. And I'm glad I know his name. I'm glad I know his name, and I'm more glad he knows my name. That's what I'm really glad about. He knows my name. And if God could have had some kind of physical appearance during my issue on the cruise, I wonder what his reaction would have been to me. I wonder what his face looked like. I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder, he's like, my God. And I called that boy to preach. I just wonder. I mean, you know, it taught me something about myself. It taught me how quickly that your faith can be challenged. Once again, it's easy when things are good. If Jewel called me, "Pastor, we're in the middle of the Atlantic. They're smoking. We're stopped, and I'm scared. Pray for me." "Jewel, you're okay in Jesus' name. It's going to be all right. Who you serve, Jewel?" "I serve God." "That's right, you serve God. Do you think Jesus will let you go on a cruise with Chuck and die in the middle of the Atlantic? Is that the way you're going to go out?" "Of course not. You got a gift and a call to sing. Come on. You're going to be fine. Start singing." I'll probably tell her to start singing on the ship. Just start singing. "You are not alone. I will be." Just start singing. I'd have been a man of faith for Jewel. That ship would not have went down with Jewel on there. I'd have had such words of strength and power and prophetic meaning. But with me, it's amazing how that works. You know, don't we all struggle more believing and praying for ourselves than we do others? That's a challenge all of us have, I think. Because I hear that all the time. "Oh, I believe for them, but man, it's hard to believe for me." If we could transfer the faith that we have for others back to our own lives and realize that. He's in the eye of your storm, church. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. It is Him. Anybody got anything to add on or anything tonight before we close out? Yes. You ever told Dee that? You need to tell her that. You made me look bad now because Marjorie's thinking, "Oh, he said, remember my song." Thanks. I'm not saying I wouldn't in a storm. I'm just saying as a whole, that's not what we focus on. Sunday morning passed away pretty quick when we're going through a storm later in the week. All of a sudden, Sunday morning seems like 10 years ago because all we see is, and that's something else too. Don't our storms seem so present and alive, and what we've heard, the truth of the good stuff, seems so removed sometimes. It's like, it's 3 days ago, you know, you were praying and God said, "Oh, it's going to be all right." And, you know, "I'm marching on. I'm in the army of the Lord." Dun, 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 you know, all that. And we're just, you know, we're going on. We're going forward. We're marching. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Jesus. Captain Jesus. Then all of a sudden, man, that storm hits and we done got out of the army. You know, we're, what do they call it when they run away from the service? Yeah, we done went AWOL on God. Yeah, we're AWOL. God's like, Jewel, where'd you go? Anybody else? It wasn't that bad. I didn't go psycho or start talking gibberish. I just... Margie put it good. I lost my land. That's what it was. As the old show I grew up with, I was in the land of the lost. Land. Oh, remember that show, Jewel, Land of the Lost? The dinosaurs? Used to love that show. So corny now. I've seen it recently, but so good. Yeah, but still a good show. All right. Don't forget, need some volunteers if y'all can help out Friday or Saturday or both at 8 o'clock. Be here at the church just for just a little bit to help get this playground put together. That come in a big old build-it-yourself kit. We had a guy go do it. Supposed to have been done professionally and free by Lowe's, but the kit we got isn't considered a commercial kit, and so they don't do non-commercial kits. So we're stuck with it. So anyway. But it's not. Well, what I mean is stuck we had to put it together. But it looks similar to the one we had before. It's a little bit bigger, a little bit different. So it's be a nice playground for our kids. Oh, yeah. 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 Do what? Oh, that better. All righty. Don't forget, we have our 15th anniversary celebration, as well as our dedication next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Right now, we've got 134 that signed up to be here. So everybody shows up, we'll have a nice full house. And we're excited about celebrating 15 years of ministry. It's a blessing. I was just a youngin' when we started this church. Just a youngin'. So a lot of good things. We're going to have a great time that Sunday. So don't forget about that. And if you're here tonight and haven't signed up and want to come, then please make sure you sign up. How many are you going to bring? So, all right. Everybody is good. I want to thank Donna for going with me tonight and picking up Willow. And I might need you to take me, do you want me to take her back home too? I don't know. We'll see. But Donna, I went and picked up little Willow. I didn't want to get her by myself, of course. And so I was waiting for somebody to get here. And Donna walked up and I said, Rand, I'm going to take your wife with me. He said, okay. So I need you to ride with me somewhere. So Donna rode with me in the van to go pick up a little Willow. So. No. I don't know that song. Yeah. I told you, my parents listened to radio in the car growing up. It was just quiet. They talked. They didn't play music in the car. Well, they didn't play music at home either. So I just didn't. Yeah, I got culture shock, and I 10 years started listening to 80s bands. And I'm like, man, I bet my mom thought I went wild listening to them long hair bands because I didn't listen to music. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm rocking out to Living on a Prayer, Take My Hand, you know. All righty. Time to go. Let's stand up. We'll close out in prayer. If you have an offering tonight, you can come bring it and put it in the offering plate before you leave. Lord, we thank you.